Well, I got to deliver half a message this morning because the Lord had some things He wanted to say to you. And the reason I say half, you're going to get the second half of it tonight, I believe. But in the last 2 months, I've seen more of the world than all the rest of my life put together. Sue and I were in Poland for a couple of weeks, and then last month, a whole month, I was in South Africa. And many of those cities, I only got to minister in one church at a time, like maybe just one service. And then we'd get on a train or in a car and we'd drive to another city. And then I'd minister at another church and then another church. Now, if the Lord sees fit to send you halfway around the world, and you only get to deliver one message to a particular group there, a particular church, you reckon it might be important what you say. Boy, I was listening with all that was in me. Because, there's a lot of messages. There's a lot of things we can teach on. I've been at this a while. You know, we could just pick a subject. We can pick about 9 different ways to teach it, you know. So I was asking the Lord, and He says, well, it's really, if you only get to talk with them once. Now, we're not talking to lost people. I know what to preach to them. There's only one message for the lost, and that's Christ and Him crucified. That's the only message for the lost. But now, if He's sending you to the body of Christ to teach them, and you only get to speak to them once, what is the most important message you can give them? How to hear from the living Christ who sits on the throne. What if Jesus... Yes, sir. I'll do it the way He... I don't think I've ever put it this way before. When Jesus showed up on the shore, and Peter and James and John, they were His partners in the fishing business, you know, sons of Zebedee. When Jesus showed up that day, and He says, come, I will make you fishers of men. Come and follow me. For Peter, James, and John, let me ask you, was their life as they had known it over at that point? Wasn't it over? Their life as they had known it up till then? Well, now, if Jesus could walk through that wall right there tonight, Jesus Himself, and walked up to each one of you and says, I've called you in the same way I've called him, called them. From this day forward, whatever I say to you, if I'm going to be your Lord, whatever I say to you, that's what you'll be doing. Would you say that your life, most likely as you have known it, would pretty much be over? That is exactly the message that He's having me deliver around the world and also here, because I got good news for the church. Jesus is alive. He is seated right now at the right hand of the Father in His glorified body. But He is the head of the church, and He has a plan for your life exactly like He had a plan for Peter's life and James and John. And He's called each one of us to follow Him. The problem is, this used to really bother me, because part of the message we're going to get into, we're going to be talking heavily about, everyone say the word tongues. Speaking in other tongues, okay? And I knew this was true for a long time before I was willing to say it out of my mouth, but see, the devil has fought the message of tongues harder than he has the cross. And for me, that's easy to prove because I grew up in a denomination that accurately preaches the message of the cross. You can get saved there. I mean, they'll preach heaven sweet and hell hot, and you got to have the blood of Jesus. And I mean, before it's over, you can feel the fire and brimstone, you know. And you can get saved there. But see, that same denomination, that same one, you just even begin speaking with other tongues, and you'll receive the left foot of fellowship so quick you'll make your head spin. They flat taught me tongues as of the devil. And I couldn't understand that for years. I said, why would the devil fight that message harder than he would the cross? I couldn't understand that. It's only been recently that I've come to where I do understand it. See, Satan, in his pride, he disregards you completely. He doesn't care about humans at all. He really could care less whether you go to heaven or go to hell. That's no consequence to him. But I'll tell you what he does care about. As long as you never have any power. As long as you can't do anything to stop what he's doing in the earth, then you're pretty much of no consequence to him. But as soon as you start doing anything, developing an anointing and something where you can start, if you start becoming a little bit like what it says about Jesus, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You start operating like that, you are going to attract his attention. Now, the reason he's fought to, you can get born again and remain powerless. How many of you know that's true? Okay? I mean, we don't have to, you know, teach on that, do we? All right? But see, that message of the Holy Spirit, where we're going to get the second half of it tonight, the communication link between Jesus, who is alive, if he can separate our link to him on the throne, then he has effectively removed the literal lordship of Jesus over your life. You wind up being an orphan doing your best to serve him, but not really hearing your master's voice. So here's for a review. Go to John 14 again. Review, it feels like I've already jumped out into the middle of the thing. Is there anybody that was not here this morning? Could I see your hand? Oh, boy. Get this morning's tape. I'm going to do some quick review here. Sue and I were born again in 1980, and we were 33 years old at the time. I'll save you the math. We're 56 now. Now, when you don't get saved till you're 33, see, if y'all could see me up a little closer, right around my eyes here, you'd see some real deep wrinkles. We call them crow's feet. Now, that's not just age. That's mileage. I'm telling you, Sue and I both, if I was a Toyota, I'd have 200,000 sin miles on me, okay, you know? Lots of sin for lots of years now. But see, that's not the, you know, Jesus said those that have been forgiven much, they love much, you know? And I tell you, if there's anybody on planet Earth that knows that on his own, without the blood of Jesus, he's going to hell, it's Gary Carpenter. I know that. And when Jesus came, back in 1980, just because he loved me, he saved this old boy and this old girl from hell here. I'm telling you now, I didn't need to hear any messages on, I need to serve Jesus. If he's going to come and rescue me from eternity in hell, then as far as I'm concerned, my life belongs to him. So Sue and I, the best we knew how, and we didn't know how very well, but we started trying to serve the Lord. And now, let me read this little passage here again, just to get our mind going down the direction it was this morning. See, at this point, the reason I'm reading this, Peter, James, and John, and all the disciples, they had followed Jesus for about 3 years at this point. But now Jesus is telling them that he's fixing to leave. He's going to be crucified, buried, raised from the dead, but then he's going to ascend to heaven and be seated at the right hand of the Father. So he's basically telling them, boys, I'm leaving. Well, put yourself in their shoes. What do you mean you're leaving? We've left everything to follow you, Jesus. For 3 years, whatever town you went to, we'd follow you there. Whatever you told us to do, that's what we'd do. And we've seen all these miracles. We're planning on following you the rest of our life, Jesus. What do you mean you're leaving? How will we know what to do? How would we follow you if you're going away? Well, now he comforts them here with these words. John 14:16. He says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another. Everyone say another. Another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now, who's the first comforter? That's Jesus. But now, who is this other comforter? He tells you in the next verse, even the Spirit of truth, that's the Holy Ghost, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Now get this part. I will not leave you comfortless. That's the way it says it in the King James. But the real word for comfortless, the real Greek word, is orphanos. And he's saying, I'm not going to leave you like an orphan to have to find your own way. What he's really telling them, look, you have followed me up until now. Don't worry. You'll still be able to follow me. I'm sending someone else. Come on down to the next verse, next chapter, John 16. Let's look at verse 13. He's still teaching on the same thing. And he says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Now get this. For he shall not speak of himself. That means on his own authority. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Got that? Now we went through this morning, and since we have some people here tonight, LaRue, that wasn't here this morning, it'd be good for them to see it. And I'm getting back to this, Sue and I wanting to serve Jesus. Now, I haven't forgot that, okay? But now, if you would, again, wisdom dictates that when you're in another man's church, always make the pastor to be Jesus, okay? Don't ever make the pastor out to be the devil or anything. He's Jesus. And I'm going to represent Peter. Now, this is Jesus during his earthly ministry, while he was physically on the earth. And look at how Peter and the 12 would follow Jesus at that time. If they broke camp in the morning, they were in between villages, and they had their fish and their bread, and then they put out the campfire, and it's time for the day. If Jesus started down this way, and I want to follow Jesus, I can see him, can't I? And you just follow Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If he goes this way, then I'll follow him this way. And then also, if he has communication, you know, it wasn't just a matter of physically following him. He could speak, and his mouth to my ear. Let's say it this way, his soul to my soul, his mind to my mind. Even in the emotional realm, if he was mad, you reckon I could tell it? Yeah. If he was happy, you reckon I could tell that? Yeah. Even if he didn't say anything, I could tell, couldn't I? So, soul to soul, intellect to intellect, emotions to emotions, physical to physical, that's how Peter followed him. And all the 12 followed Jesus. All right? Now, that's fine except for one thing. Jesus says, I'm now going away. Okay, now, let's say that I'm going quicker than I did this morning. Let's say that time has come. Now Jesus has ascended. In his glorified body, our Lord Jesus is alive and well today. He is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Now, I'm still Peter on earth. Now, I'm supposed to be able to still follow him. Jesus promised me I wouldn't be left like an orphan. Holy Spirit, please come. Now, see, Jesus said he is sending us another comforter, and I wanted Richard, I wanted some human to come. We've got to get it straight, church. Jesus is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not Jesus. Now, watch this. How many... Okay, before I even tell you this next part, everyone take your hand and hold it over your left ear. How many gods are there? One God, right? There's only one God. Hello? There's only one God. I'm doing the best I can, Lord. Get a little popping out of the speaker there. Anyway, yet does not he... this is an infinite God trying to reveal himself to a finite people. Amen? There's only one God. Yet he represents himself to us, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You still got your hand over your left ear? See, if we get to thinking about that, our brain starts leaking right out of our left ear. That's the reason.
Peter, yes. We have to change the battery in the mic.
That's a change of battery. I'm receiving an instruction right now from the Lord. I can proceed now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This is actually working out pretty well. You're seeing how this is working here. All right, let's run through this one more time. I don't know how much of it we missed there. There is only one God. Yet he, to represent himself so we can understand, we're a finite people trying to understand an infinite God. There's only one God, yet he represents himself to us, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, so it's not wrong, though, for us to say there's only one God. Now, God the Father is in heaven. Amen? Our Lord Jesus, God the Son, is seated at his right hand. And God the Holy Ghost has come to be the go-between, the bridge between us and Jesus. Now, that part there where it says the Holy Spirit has not come to speak on his own authority or of himself. I didn't understand the significance of that for years, but what that means is he has not come to replace Jesus as my Lord. The Holy Spirit has not come to be Lord. Who is Lord? There's one head of the church, amen? That's Jesus. No, the Holy Spirit, what he hears, that's what he speaks. Now get this. I didn't say this part this morning. Now get this. Since, is the Holy Spirit God? Doesn't that mean he is everywhere all at once? Now get this. This is a stroke of genius. If Jesus himself was still physically on the earth today, with the millions of believers that there is on the planet, if we wanted to get our instructions from Jesus every morning, you tell me, how are we all going to be in the same spot at the same time? Even by email, it would be difficult. Unscrambling all those messages and, you know. But look at what God has done, because the Holy Spirit is God. He is with Jesus in heaven at all the time. And yet he is with us collectively, but even more important, individually, all the time. With him, there is no distance problems. And get this, he's not bound by time. Now, what that means is, Philip, what that means is, for all practical purposes, you have your own personal Holy Spirit. And so do you. And so do you. Because he has infinity just for you. He has all the time there is just for you. He doesn't go, please hurry, I've got to get over to her house. And can't you understand these instructions? Look at what a stroke of genius this is. We have one Lord glorified in heaven, one head of the church, and by the Holy Spirit, he is able to communicate not just his general mind to the body, but I mean his specific instructions to each and every disciple. I call that a stroke of genius. But how in the world do you activate that leadership? Thank you. Thank you very much. Give the Holy Spirit and Jesus a hand. Because now getting back to Sue and I, that first 12 years from 1980 to 1992, we were born again, we were disciples, and we were also baptized in the Holy Ghost. We could pray in tongues. We could shandai right along with you, okay? And we were like most charismatics. I mean, we went to meetings and read books about the Bible. I mean, we read the Bible. And you know, we like going to meetings and we, you know, get up in the morning and confess a verse or two and shandai for about 10 minutes and, you know, we're spiritual giants. And I'm being a little bit facetious, but just a little. But now we were serious about serving God and we were trying, anything our hand would find to do. We served in the prison ministries in Oklahoma for about 6 years. That's a good ministry. We would teach in different people's homes, teach Bible studies. If our church needed anything done, and I mean anything, from mowing the lawn to weed eating to cleaning the carpet, whatever they needed, you know, we wanted to serve Jesus. But I got to tell you, during that, as I look back at that 12 years now, pretty much what we were doing, we felt kind of like orphans. We weren't getting that communication like I just described to you, when I'd wake up, and it's not that we weren't asking for it. I'd get up, I know Sue would pray, and I would pray, Lord, we want your will. What is it you want us to do with our life? What is it, not just with our life, what is it you want us to do today? Now, seeing by all these nods, we're not the only ones that pray like that. And I got to tell you, though, the silence was deafening. It seemed like a good, legitimate prayer, you know? But when I would listen for his answer, it just seemed like I couldn't hear it. And so we would do whatever our hand would find to do, and the Lord says, you know, he says, you can't even give a cup of cold water in my name and lose your reward for it. So he would bless whatever we did, all that he could. But listen, there's a higher walk than saying, Lord, I have to assume this is what you want me to do, and I sure pray that your blessing is upon this. I mean, there's just got to be a higher walk than that. And I knew somehow it was possible, but how in the world to activate this? How do you get that flow going if the Holy Spirit is the one that he sent to bring me the mind of my living Christ? If the Holy Spirit, what's wrong? I've got the Holy Spirit. Well, in 1992 is when we started attending the Family Prayer Center there in Tulsa, and we started hearing Pastor Dave Roberson. Most of you are familiar with the teachings, and Dave, as you know, places a heavy emphasis on building a relationship with Jesus by the agency of the Holy Ghost, specifically when it comes to praying in other tongues. Now, I know you know this verse by heart, but turn to it anyway. 1 Corinthians 14:2. Dave was the first one who ever began teaching us that there was a valid reason to begin spending time on purpose, just spending time, carving out blocks of time, like hours, an hour or two at a time, to just spend praying in other tongues. You know, I had never heard anybody teach like that before. We could pray in other tongues. We knew a little bit about it. But nobody, until we started listening to Dave, had ever told us there was any real reason to do that, to just spend time on purpose praying in other tongues. Now look at verse 1 Corinthians 14:2. Because let's see exactly what's going on now when we're speaking with tongues. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Now let's just, I know this is simple. This is Jane see the ball, as LaRue would say. When you're speaking in an unknown tongue, who are you talking to? God. We got that? Point one. Now no man understands him. Howbeit, now notice, in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Now we're talking to God. And while we're talking with him, mysteries are being spoken. We got that? Now, even my lightning quick mind, I'm not the quickest guy on the block, but even my lightning quick mind figured this part out. If I'm talking to God, which that says I am, and mysteries are being communicated, I'm pretty sure I'm not explaining stuff to him. Fair enough? I mean, I'm pretty sure he's not up there going, Gary, I'm so glad I've been waiting all these millennia for you to be born so you could explain these mysteries to me, Gary. Now, even my lightning quick mind figured out pretty quick, no, these, what's going on here? If God and I are speaking, then there's mysteries being communicated. I'm not explaining stuff to him. Glory to God, he's explaining things to me. Well, I wonder what kind of mysteries. Well, how about some of these, like, Lord, what is it you've called me to do in the earth? How about this one? Well, this would be a good mystery. The church would like to know this mystery. How do you open blind eyes? How do you, it's a mystery to the church, Lord, how during your services, when you ran them yourself, that the maimed could come in and receive a new hand or a new arm. Lord, that's kind of a mystery to your church today. We could use some teaching on that. And he's going, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men but unto God. If you'll sit there and let my spirit speak these mysteries to you, these things won't remain mysteries. You'll begin to understand them. So I started getting this a little bit. I said, okay, Dave was telling us, when you spend time on purpose, just carve some time out of your life and begin spending time praying in other tongues. Now notice it says, in the spirit, these mysteries are being explained. Howbeit in the spirit. You notice that? He speaketh mysteries. Now you're in 1 Corinthians, back up to chapter 2, because I want to show you the problem. Remember, for the first 12 years, again, I have to keep bringing you back to this. For the first 12 years, Sue and I were doing our best to serve God. We did a lot of good things. God blessed it all that He could. But I'll be honest with you, looking back at that period of time now, we were pretty much, after prayer and after doing everything that we knew to do, we had to kind of choose something. And we were doing that and hoping it was His will and then asking His blessing on it. And that is one way to walk. And that's pretty much the way the whole church is walking, to be honest with you. But I knew there had to be a higher walk than that, a higher way. And we started listening to Dave. And now remember, all during those 12 years, I don't know how many hundreds of times I prayed prayers like, Lord, what is Your plan for our life? I mean, it seems like such a valid prayer. I couldn't understand why I never seemed to hear the answer. Lord, do You want me doing this? Do You want me doing that? Do You want me... What is it that You want? And I couldn't hear it. And I'm telling you why now. I was listening. You remember that old song, Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places? I was looking for His voice in all the wrong places. See, I was wanting Him to communicate with me the way that He communicated with Peter. Soul to soul, intellect to intellect, emotion to emotion. That's not the way that He communicates with you primarily now. Let me show you that from the Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 12. Now this word now is very important. When He says, now we have received. If we had time to teach the whole book now... When He says, now we have received, what He means, now that you're born again. You got to remember, Paul is the one that first brought the gospel to Corinth. These people were a bunch of heathen idol worshipers. Now, just to show you, back up just a little bit, in the same chapter, verse 1, chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Now look. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I told you before, there's only one message to the lost, and that's the message. See, to the unborn again person, a person that's got that spirit of the world in them, they can't be taught. There's only one message that the sinner is capable of receiving, and that is Christ and Him crucified. Let's say it this way, you must be born again. Well, now, they got born again, and now in verse 12, that's why He says, now that you've been born again, now that we've been born again, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Now, that spirit of the world is the very same spirit that every human being is born with when they're born of their earthly parents. It's the fallen nature of Adam. Adam and Eve had children. They passed that sin nature on to their children. Who passed it on to their children? Now, let me ask you this. How many parents we got in the room? Us two. Sue and I, we got three kids. Don't we love our children? Amen. Aren't they cute and cuddly, you know? But you know what? I have never met a parent yet that had to teach their child to be selfish. We have to teach them not to be selfish, don't we? You know, I've never yet met a parent who had to teach their child to lie. We have to teach them not to lie. Now, we love our kids, but let me ask you, where is that stuff coming from? Well, that's that death nature. It's born in every one of us. It's the spirit of the world that everybody's born with the first time. And as long as you've got that nature in you, there's only one message from God for you, and that's Christ and Him crucified, because you must be born again. When you get born again... You receive a new nature, a spirit from the second man, the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the spirit that he's talking about here, which is of God. And he said it right with the little s. King James got it right on this one. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Now, why is that so vitally important? You've got to have a spirit from God in order to know the things that are freely given to us of God. You see it more important. Let me come on down here. Some of you, the light's starting to flicker. Now watch this. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost, who's teaching? He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaking mysteries? Holy Ghost teaches, comparing mental things with mental. Oh, spiritual things with spiritual. Now watch this. We're coming to it, this next verse. Now the natural man. The natural man is the guy who still has the spirit of the world in him. He's not been born again yet. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. I was looking for answers in all the wrong places. I would ask God, I would pray out of my intellect, out of my heart really, but out of my mind, out of my intellect, God, what is it you want me to do? And then I'm looking around in all the rooms in my soul, trying to find his answer. I didn't understand that these things are spiritually discerned. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. No man understands him. Howbeit in the Spirit, everyone say, in the Spirit, in the Spirit. Spirit, he's speaking mysteries, and these things are spiritually discerned. The things that are being spiritually discerned to you are the very things, verse 12 he called it, so you can know the things, so you can spiritually discern the things that are freely given to us of God. Who in here plans on earning your calling? Do you earn callings?
No.
My Bible says he ascended on high and gave gifts unto men. Apostles, prophets, gifts. They didn't earn it. Apostles, prophets, pastors, you're a gift. Glory to God. Teachers, evangelists, on and on. Administrations, helps, governments, right?
Amen.
Right? They're gifts, right? How are you going to find out what your calling is? Praying in the Spirit is the right answer. See, for years I thought I was going to be a pastor. You know why? Well, number one, the denomination I grew up in, they think everything else has passed away but pastor. There is no apostles, there are no prophets. Well, they do allow missionaries, that's right, and Sunday school teachers. Okay? But that's all there is, just pastor and missionary, basically. And plus, my temperament, my natural tendency is, I'm a little bit of a teddy bear kind of guy. I like people. I'm kind of soft, you know. And so, kind of a shepherd type. And I thought, well, you know, I just think in myself, probably someday I'll wind up pastoring a church, you know. One day, minding my own business, praying those mysteries in the Holy Ghost, praying in other tongues, the Holy Ghost speaks up and says, he has not called you to pastor. And he never will. Yeah. What's the next question? What am I? Isn't that what you'd ask? What am I then? You know, I hope I'm something in there, you know, something. And he told me plainly, he says, you're a teacher. That's where your giftings are. That's where your anointing is. Stay where he has called you. Now listen to me. Just the practical... Just think about the practical help that gave me, finding out that one thing. Think of the hours I don't have to spend trying to figure out what I'm going to name my church.
Not gonna name one. Think about the hours I don't have to spend looking for land where to build my church. Now, he may have me build a teaching center sometime. Well, that's different. If you're a pastor, you have to think about those things, eh?
Amen.
You know, I mean, I'm not saying it. But, I mean, for me, it was a great relief. And Sue was really relieved to find out she doesn't have to be a pastor's wife. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But it's really even more advantage than that. See, because I get prophecies from well-meaning people. I mean, they're not trying to hurt me. They're trying to bless me. And I still get prophecies every now and then, pretty regular. Yeah. They always start off, yeah. Thus saith the Lord, you know. Oh, I see a church, Brother Gary. And you're going to pastor a church of thousands and on and on and on, you know. And, you know, I'm always real nice with them, and I tell them I appreciate that. I say, I thank you very much for that. You know, just continue in prayer. Pat them on the back, you know. They're not trying to hurt me. They're doing their best to hear God, and I'm not about to hurt them. Amen. You know, they're not trying to hurt me. But, and it helps me pray for them. You understand? And pat them on the back. But it's wonderful not to have to be blown around by every wind of doctrine and every prophecy. And it's nice when you know what you know.
Amen.
You know? But it's really nice. And not be intimidated, you know? Or even accidentally pushed the wrong direction because some well-meaning person gives you a word, you know? And if you don't know, then you might kind of go that away. But it's wonderful when you start hearing from the Lord yourself. See, now, I'm coming back to that 12 years before. That 12 years, God did a lot of good things. People got saved in those prisons. People got saved in those Bible studies. A young man who later on became one of our son-in-laws got saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost in one of those Bible study meetings. Okay? And so it is all good things, you know. But see, once we started on purpose, starting to let the Holy Spirit, now get this picture again. Here's the living Jesus, our living Lord, who's alive today. The Holy Spirit is in between him and me on earth. And I start letting the Holy Spirit communicate mysteries, not directly to my soul. Have you got this yet? He's communicating those mysteries to your human spirit. Now, while I was in South Africa, the Lord gave me a wonderful teaching tool, because the number one language that they speak there is not English. Most of them do speak English. But their first language is called Afrikaans. And it's a blend of Dutch, German, and English. But, boy, when they're talking it, I can't understand it. I mean, to me, it's tongues, okay? And I'm staying with Brahm and Heloise Matia, and just a wonderful couple who's just totally sold out to the Lord. And sometimes I would be in the room with them. It's husband and wife, you know. But they get to talking, and they forget that I'm there. And they're jabbering at each other in this Afrikaans. Now, to me, it might as well be tongues. It's jabber, 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 jabber. But I can tell by their expressions that communication is taking place. You know, I can tell he's understanding her and she's understanding him. And things are being explained. But, you know, to me at that moment, it is a mystery. It is a mystery at that moment. But information is definitely being communicated between these two people. And then usually one of them usually Heloise would happen to notice I'm there with a puzzled look on my face, like, I have no idea. And then she'll have mercy on me, and then she'll begin communicating to me that same mystery in a language that I can understand. And I went, my God, that is exactly what's going on. When we let the Holy Spirit just spend time communicating directly with my human spirit, now at that moment, mysteries are being communicated. It's just the language that my human soul does not understand. But let me tell you, that doesn't mean that information is not being transmitted back and forth. Communication is going on. My understanding at that moment is unfruitful. But I've learned over these years, once my human spirit understands that particular mystery, It turns around to my soul and says, soul, check this out. And then that information comes, and it usually comes one of four ways. A dream, sometimes a vision, and that can be an external or an internal vision. Sometimes just by revelation. One moment you didn't understand something or you didn't know something. The next instant you do, and you don't know how you do. Just by revelation it'll come. And then the other way, the fourth way, is sometimes it is words. The language you understand. And by the way, the Holy Ghost speaks all of them. You know, right now he can communicate to you in English and at the same instant be communicating to a believer in Chinese on the other side of the world. There isn't any language barrier with him, you know. Isn't that right? So in 1992, in December, I made the decision, and the Lord had me in the perfect job for this, to just start spending a lot of time praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, see, I know they're taught this here all the time, so I don't know how depth to go in this. See, my tendency right here is to get cute and entertain you. And I could. I can tell this story really funny. But he's not going to let me do it that way. I already have it on tape anyhow for you. Those early days of trying to learn how to pray and spend a lot of time in the trucks. But see, we're coming to the end of the end times, people. And I told you, he didn't send me here to hurt you. He sent me here to kill you. Now, I'm going to tell you real plain what the trap is. How many of you know the message, basically, of praying in other tongues, mortification? Give me see your hands. I thought so. Let me tell you what the big trap is at the prayer center, and I know it's the same here. You come to this church because you feel God here. You see God do stuff. You see your lives change. The same in Tulsa. And see, when, you know, since we go to Tulsa, I have to speak more about there, but I know it's the same here, see, so it's the same trap. When you go to Tulsa, you get to sit under Dave Roberson, and let me tell you something, you're going to dine on filet mignon, like you guys dine on filet mignon here. You're going to get, you're not going to get just milk all the time. He's going to toss you a T-bone once in a while and have you chew on that thing, right? Now, at the same time, there's a spirit of love. You know, when you come, you know that you can just feel that love and you sit underneath it. It's the very love of Christ feeding you. Plus, you get to see things happen. People get healed. I mean, you just talk about Saturday night, two deaf ears opened or something and different things. Glory to God. This is good stuff. But the big trap is this, because people keep coming and they keep coming and sometimes for years. And the big trap is, because almost think like they're doing the message, when the truth of the matter is, they're feeding on the fruit from Dave, who is doing the message. And you can go on for years like that, but yet if I was invisible and could follow you around myself with a little stopwatch. See, in college, my engineering degree is industrial engineering. That's a fancy word for efficiency expert. I'm the guy who would come around the plant with the stopwatch and the clipboard, and I'm going to see how, you know, whether you're working, whether you're not working. Now, if I was invisible and I could follow you around, and at the end of the week, we just tally up your hours in prayer. I've heard somebody go, ooh. Sue and I get this again, we're saved and filled with the Holy Ghost for 12 years with virtually no leadership. Why? We did not know how to release that anointing. Had the teacher, had the one who has been sent from Jesus to bring me his mind on a daily basis, but because I didn't understand that these things are spiritually discerned, and it's released by me letting the Holy Spirit pray those mysteries, for all practical purposes, here I had the teacher, if you'll allow me, 1 inch away from my brain, with all revelation and all leadership, yet because I didn't know how to release him, we were pretty much orphans, left to find our own way. 1992. Let me tell you, I can save y'all a couple of years here. Is that okay? Can I do that?
Yes.
I can save y'all a couple of years if I just get you to make a confession right after me. See, because I'm not ignorant of Satan's devices, and neither am I a novice. I've been at this a while. Now, let's just get it straight. To say this after me, trust me, it'll be okay.
Nobody
has time to pray.
Let's
just agree on that now.
That's right.
You're not special. You're not a special case. I'm telling you right now, nobody has time to pray. Now, just get it straight. Dave doesn't, I don't, neither do you. Just get it straight, because that's what the devil's going to come with you and tell you you don't have time. You're just too busy. I mean, yeah, LaRue can pray. Gary can pray. But you're too busy, because you just can't pray. Nobody has time to pray. And if you're going to be different, you're going to make time to pray.
Amen.
Now, let's get past that one now. You think you're going to stand before the Lord on that day and say, I would have followed you, but I didn't have time to pray? You think that's going to fly? Now, I know some of you, you know, you can be really busy. I understand that. But there's no such thing as no time to pray. The first goal, don't be telling me you can't carve out an hour to pray. Even if you have to do it 15 minutes at a time at first. But listen, don't you know that one of the first things the Holy Spirit, you know what Romans 8:27 says, He makes intercession for you according to the perfect will of God. If you need more time to pray, don't you think that'll be one of the first things He's praying through you? Duh! You know? This is not rocket science. Okay? You just be faithful with that 15 minutes four times a day. You know, he that's faithful in little, he says, I'll find you faithful in much, you know. See? People's always asking me, Lord, Lord, I want to be your servant. They're always saying, I want to be the Lord's steward. How come the Lord doesn't, you know, how come he doesn't give me more money to steward for him? It's real simple. What'd you do with the last $100 extra that he gave you? Whew. It always gets quiet when I do that. Did you even ask him? I said, Lord, no, I went to Ross and bought new shoes. That's not a steward's mind. That's another night. But anyway. We started praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, you just need to know this. When you first start that process, number one, the devil's going to beat your brains out to get you to stop. All kinds of things like, this isn't doing any good. I don't care what Gary said. This is not doing any good. I don't care what 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says. This is not doing any good. Nothing is happening. And I'll be honest with you, it, at the time that you're doing it, the change seems agonizingly slow. And I don't want you to get the impression that I started spending time praying and instantly I started receiving answers from the Lord. Honey, it was anything but like that. But as I look back on it now, see, I have 12 years before, and now I've got 11 years after. As I compare those two periods of time, from the very first day, let's just say, for example, that again, I've taught this before, but let's say the center line, right down the center aisle, represents the Lord Jesus's. If Gary could find the perfect path, the perfect plan of the Lord Jesus for his life, it'd be right there. Let's say that day in 1992, when I decided to turn my time over to the Holy Spirit, where he found me was 42 miles away from that perfect plan. Now, I've been an orphan out here for 12 years doing my best to serve him. And in my limited understanding, I wound up getting myself 42 miles away from his perfect plan for my life. But now, this day, I've decided to start praying. Romans 8:26 and 27 says, when we know not what to pray for as we ought, the Holy Spirit, He begins making intercession for us with groanings that can't be uttered. He makes intercession for the saints according to the perfect will of God. With the first hour that I gave Him, no matter how hesitatingly it was, no matter how still full of doubt my mind was, the very first hour that I gave the Holy Spirit, He begins turning the path of my life even though in my soul I don't even know it yet. But I mean with the first hour, he is turning me back towards Jesus' perfect will for my life. Because my Jesus is alive and well. And he has a plan for me. Just like he had a plan for Peter, James, and John. The Holy Spirit's job is no matter what kind of mess I've got myself in, no matter how far away from the perfect will of God I've gotten my life, the Holy Spirit's job is to find me. And I don't even have to be able to figure it out. He will pray it out if I let him. There was a council meeting in heaven. I can't prove this, but trust me. Before the foundation of the world, and God the Father was looking down and he had you on his mind. And he's going, these people, they love me though, but they're kind of like sheep. I love them and they love me, but they're kind of like sheep. I mean, they have a little trouble understanding always which way to go. And I mean, they don't even know what to pray a lot of times. And this is a real dilemma. And the Holy Spirit raises his hand and he says, here's an idea. I would be willing to go and abide with each one of them forever. And since I know what your plan is for each of their lives, you can give me a prayer language for them that will just kind of circumvent their mind out of this thing. Since I know the plan, I can offer up the perfect prayer that matches your plan. You can receive that prayer and answer it. And the sheep, they can't fail. And God looks to Jesus, high five, this will work. And all we have to be smart enough to do is pray. This is a wonderful plan. It's so good. I wish I'd have thought of it. No, but God thought it. We started praying, and it seemed agonizingly slow. I'll be honest with you now. But as I look over what he's accomplished in these 11 years, compared with, I mean, for God's sake, I'm just a guy driving trucks when I heard this message. There's nothing wrong with driving trucks, but, you know, hey, amen is right. That's a good way to make a living. Hey, if you're a truck driver now, you're in the perfect job. You can get paid to pray. Hallelujah. He had me in the perfect job. Who would have ever dreamed that decision in December 1992 to just turn off the CB radio, turn off the country western music. Everybody say, thank God for that. Who would have ever dreamed, I wouldn't have, that it wouldn't be very long he'd have me preaching in Poland. He'd be sending me on the other side of the world in South Africa. Teaching not only, I taught everywhere. I taught in everything from tents in the middle of a million people in this one camp. They're living in little shacks made out of cardboard and tin. I mean, we don't keep our chickens in places like this. I got to teach there in a little tent. Then I also taught in the most prosperous church in that part of the world. Who would have ever dreamed when I just started turning my mind, turning my lips over, let the Holy Spirit begin making intercession for me. Because he knows what is the mind of my master. What he hears, that's what he speaks. He began communicating that first with my spirit. And then little by little by little, my soul has understood. Sue does the same. She prays. We compare and we talk. We make decisions together. And he has changed the entire course of our life. And I have no idea what he's got in mind next. But I know I never would have dreamed of going to... I never would have dreamed of having an internet service. Now our teachings are available online. I mean, I don't mean just in written form. I mean, you can click on them and listen to them. Anywhere around the world for free. Did y'all know that? It's just that you go to www.garycarpenter.org. There they are. There they are. Or anywhere around the world, if they understand English, they can hear those messages. And it doesn't cost them anything. I think our gospel ought to be free myself. I was reading my Bible. It's a dangerous thing to do. I discovered something, LaRue. You know, when Jesus would come to town, he'd give an offering to the poor, not take up an offering from them. He had a treasurer. You remember the night that Judas left and they thought he went to give money out of the bag to the poor. And it dawned on me. Something's wrong. He's being real nice to y'all tonight. Boy, I got some stuff to say, but we'll say that another night. Can y'all see the simplicity of this? I don't want to leave this thing. Gary, are you saying that if I will just start on purpose, just carving out some time to begin praying in other tongues? Gary, are you saying that just that action alone will change the direction of my life? And my life will begin changing and going in a direction that's more like what Jesus has for me? Is that what you're saying? Absolutely, that's what I'm saying. To the point, it would work if somebody paid you to pray. I get this. Let's say you're still a hireling. Some people used to ask Dave this question. Dave, I can't get my kids to pray. What if I paid them to pray? Would that work? And Dave says, sure, it'll work. I don't care what your motives is. I don't care what your heart condition is when you start. The Holy Spirit is there to change your heart. See, the Bible says, can the leopard change his spots? And the answer is obviously no. Why is that in there? Can man change himself? The answer is obviously no. But the Holy Spirit has come. Every hour you give Him, He is... 2 Corinthians 3:18 says it this way. As we behold the glory of the Lord, as in a glass, as in a mirror, we are changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now what that means is every hour that you give the Holy Ghost, He has this way of just unveiling the living Christ right before your very eyes. And as you see Him, He has this transforming power to change you into that same image. All right? Do y'all think Jesus is a hireling? Can He be hired? Okay? But let's say you can be. you start this out, yeah, I'll pray if you pay me. All right? And said, okay, make you a deal. I'll just pay you. You know, if you're my child, I'll pay you $5 an hour to pray. After a while, now they may start out with the wrong motive. They may start out with that hireling heart. But if they'll continue at it after a while, the Holy Spirit is going to take out, is going to change that motivation of their heart. Because as they see Jesus, and He will show them Jesus, then they're going to be changed into that same image. They'll be paying you for the opportunity to pray, if you will. it'll reverse on you. You can't stay the same and continue praying in the Holy Ghost. He loves you too much to leave you like you are. And aren't you glad about that? I'm real glad about that. Now, this is the message that He's having me deliver. If I only had one message to deliver, what if I could show you a way? That no matter how long you've been born again, no matter what your church background, what if I could connect you up with the living Jesus in a way where He could begin leading you in the same way that He led the 12? And there's a way that you can activate that any time that you want to. All you have to do is begin letting the Holy Spirit communicate those mysteries directly from the mind of Christ to your reborn human spirit. And at the same time, change your motivations, change your heart desires. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, I got time. He's having me end with you guys. It seems like on something real practical. Do y'all know it's a good thing to feed the poor? It's a good thing. Every church, after a while, because they see it in the Word, every good church, they'll eventually start a feed the poor program, or clothe the poor. You understand what I'm talking about? Well, and that's a good thing to do. And the way most churches do it, they'll say, you know, the pastor will make an announcement, or somebody will say, look, we need to start feeding the poor. You know, we're blessed and we need to help the poor. And so who's, you know, I need somebody who would volunteer to serve on a, we're going to start collecting cans and canned goods and food. Can I get some volunteers? And some people would volunteer, and then pretty soon somebody would be in charge of that. And this is the way that usually that it's done. And it's okay, and it'll start off, and everybody gets blessed. And, but you know, after about 6 months, or after about a year, if it's begun on that basis, people start getting tired after a while. And there may even start to be a little strife, a little contention. You may have to change the leader of that thing. You know, it's going to always be something that the pastor is going to have to kind of, you know, keep his hand on, because there's going to be new people coming and old people. There's going to be problems and things, you know. And see, when it's done by commandment, when you feed the poor because you're commanded to feed the poor, that's the way it's going to be. But listen, it's a whole nother thing when you feed the poor because you've fallen in love with the poor. I mean, when his heart comes to maturity in you. Do y'all ever try and love somebody? I mean, try to love them. An ugly one. You know? Let's go. They smite you. One of those people. They smite you on the cheek people. You ever try to love them? You know, it doesn't say love your enemies, you know. Do you ever try that? I love you. I still love you. But now let me tell you something. After about a week of that, one day it's going to bam, boom, bam, you know. Oops, now I got to repent. You're going to come to the end of your ability to love like that, see? You see what I'm saying? But see, it's not hard to love when that's what you are. It's not hard to love when that's what you are. It's not hard to feed the... You'll give your life for the poor when you really fall in love with the poor. Well, he's called us to a lost and dying world. We've tried to do it through the energy of good intentions and pretty much energy of the flesh, you know, and our ideas instead of his ideas, and our love instead of his love, and our anointing, which is nothing compared to his anointing, our plans instead of his plans. And where he's trying to get the church is, please let me be Lord. Let me live my life through you. I will put in you the love for whatever it is I call you to do. Can y'all tell I enjoy this? Can you tell I would pay you to get to do this? This is what I love to do. I don't have to psych myself up to come out and teach. I mean, this is what I do. This is what I am. I perish if I can't do this. It's the same way no matter what your calling is. I mean, whatever it is he's really called you to do, and you get in the midst of it, you would pay for the privilege to do it. But the wonderful thing is, he always provides for you to do it. Yes. And it's amazing. Am I making the message clear enough? Do you understand what I'm telling you? It's such a simple thing, this praying in other tongues. And anybody can do it. It's just like God. Sounds just like him to me. Now that means whether you're the least intelligent or the most intelligent person in the room. Whether you're educated, whether you're not educated. Whether you're a good speaker, whether you're not a good speaker. Whether you're a snappy dresser or not a snappy dresser. Whether you, you understand what? No matter what your education, no matter whether you was born into a rich family or a poor family. Every person in here has exactly the same access to the mind of Christ by the Holy Ghost. Every person, like if we started right now, for the next hour, could receive precisely the same degree of information from the living Jesus who sits on the throne. Every one of us has access by that same Spirit to our Lord Jesus. And there's no reason for any of us to fail. There's no reason for any of us to be wandering around this earth like orphans. He has not left us as orphans. Did you get anything out of that?
Oh.
Hallelujah.